Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. Super glad you're here today for this episode on parenting, running the play, practicing at home with your kids so that they know how to do things out in the world or in church well. Specifically, worship at church, knowing how to do that. And I think that this is not something that I have figured out at all. As a disclaimer at the beginning, my oldest is 13, my youngest is 6. And anybody who spends an extended time with us knows that my kids sin and that my wife and I sin. So this is definitely brought to you in humility, but in an attempt to kind of share some practices that we have picked up along the way that we've learned from other wise parents, most notably learning from our parents and also our pastor and his family and other families in the church. So I'm not a big fan of organized sports. I think there's a lot of parents out there with pipe dreams of their kids becoming professional athletes. I don't think the life of a professional athlete is particularly an enjoyable one. Sacrificing way too much time on the ball field as a family. I'd be fine if it was just the parents that were also farming out their kids to have the government educate them and expecting things to turn out well. At least that would be consistently delusional. But sadly, there's a lot of well-meaning Christian families sacrificing family culture for sports. That being said, there's a really good discussion coming up in a few weeks. I just finished the interview about how that plays into physical and mental toughness of your kids and practices. And I'm seeking out advice from wise Christian men that are a little bit farther towards the organized sports end of the spectrum as me. But that being said, that's a long buildup for we have to practice the plays, because you wouldn't expect to take a bunch of kids and just show up for game day. You practice. You do things over and over and over again so that you become good at them. And this is true in sports. This is true in everything in life, but a lot of people don't practice church. A lot of people don't practice going to the grocery store, eating meals in public, etc. And you do that by eating meals as a family together and requiring your kids to act like they are in public, to act like other people are around, and then disciplining them and instructing them in the way that they should go at the table in a controlled environment. We talk about specifically at the dinner table how manners are showing respect for other people. Manners are not what we do as a show to get glory for ourselves, but it is something that we do because we respect other people. Because other people are around, we are going to conduct ourselves a certain way. So typically the rules of our table are you have to sit still. You don't get up and down. You don't crawl underneath the table. Now, it's been a little bit more difficult now that we are living on the land and dinner is essentially at a picnic table out on the barn pad next to the bus, and the dog is underfoot. And so there's opportunities for distraction there, and we're having to instruct our children in how to still sit still, don't get under the table and play with the dog, etc. But that's practicing so that we can go into a restaurant and be around other people that aren't Christians and give glory to God. And I think that I struggled early on with it because I was trying to get glory for myself. I wanted to walk into a restaurant and people to say, oh man, your kids are so good. And it was not out of the right heart posture. And God didn't let me have that. He gave me plenty of opportunities for my kids to melt down in the restaurant and for me to have to swallow my pride, but then also modify what I was doing in my home. Another thing that we require, this might be something that you want to consider, is nobody takes a bite of their food until mom does. And this is me wanting my children to respect my wife and what she is doing and her contribution to bringing good food to our table. And so out of respect, she takes a bite before any of them take a bite. We obviously are praying before. I'd instruct them ready position. They know what that means. Ready position is either your hands on your lap or your hands on the edge of the table, not messing with your silverware. And again, if you sat with us at the table, this is a work in progress. But there shouldn't be kids moving stuff around and kids clambering all over the thing. Should be sitting, ready position, have their hands indexed in a spot and be waiting and showing respect for mom until she takes a bite or until mom says, guys, go ahead and get started. Because oftentimes the meal is multiple dishes being brought out to us, etc. After the meal, and even sometimes during, I'll go grab the Bible and sit down and start reading. Or even now we'll transition over to chairs around the fire pit and we do family worship. And this is practicing for church. We're in church most oftentimes two nights a week. So we're singing, reading the word, and being instructed in the word by our professional pastors, the pastoral staff, people on church. We're sitting in the sanctuary. We're sitting together as a family. There's a little bit of sitting with other families that we allow sometimes on a Wednesday night prayer night, just to allow the kids to be. But if they don't sit still and they're not paying attention and they're not open to hymnal, then they don't get to sit with other families or other kids, because the point is to be focused on God. Anyway, we practice that in our home. And we have several families. Don't be confused. The sounds of the church in the sanctuary should be punctuated by noises of young children. And that's not to say that it should all be cute little sweet noises. Like the fact that there's some crying, the fact that parents are having to step out and discipline, the fact that there's almost in our church continual kids' noises between the sweet ones, between the discipline sessions, because we have, I think, 85 kids, like 14 and under, in our service of about 150, 160 people. So lots of kids, which is essentially what that means is there's hope for your church. There are future generations that your church is going to continue for years and years, because you have youth, you have organic growth happening. And we're growing like 5-6% a year organically. When I did the math last year, it's like 10 pregnancies, 10, you know, whatever. I can't remember what the number was when I ran the actual math, just kind of curious. Anyway, there are certain families that struggle a little bit more than other families to sit still. And like I said, the goal is not, look at me, look how awesome my family is, look at how still they are. The goal is the children getting the most out of worship, corporate worship in the church as soon as possible, to understand that standing up, kneeling, opening the hymnal, following along with the confessions, etc., is forming them from an early age to take part in the faith that is our family's faith, our household's faith. And they do that by participating, because you're, like we talked about in the previous episode, a high view of God, a reverent view of God, and the service being ordered towards us offering acceptable praise to a great and holy God will have an effect week in and week out on your kids being kids' view of God, the meta narrative and the things that are communicated through the worship that are not communicated via words. And that's the goal. And I haven't really gone to kind of each one of those men directly yet. I am in some ways forming my thoughts here and even recording this podcast as a way to encourage them in a way that saying, no, I don't have it all figured out. I'm not doing it perfectly. Anyone who knows that this is something that we are learning, continuing to do and to continue to get better. But my guess would be that these half dozen or so families that have the kids almost every single service throw a little bit of a temper tantrum and have to be brought out, that they are most likely not doing organized, set aside time every day with their family, requiring them to act as if they are in church. Now, it's easy to let the kids just kind of color on the ground and just, oh, that, you know, they're younger or whatever. No, it's at very early ages, kids can sit still. And I'm talking like before 2 years old, they should be able to sit, and maybe in family worship, just like in church, the younger ones are going to be on mom's lap, et cetera. Practice that in your home. Sit them down, let them have a chair. All right, we're doing worship. All right, look it up. Look at daddy. Daddy is going to be instructing you in the word today, just like we get instructed in the word when we go to church. We're practicing for church. We're practicing worshiping the Lord here and now. This is all connected. And you give them the instruction. You say, this is the standard. You're going to sit still. You're not going to get up. We're not going to touch anything. You're going to listen. You're going to participate and sing. We have hymnals. Or the kids have memorized Psalms because they do it with homeschooling. We do that. We go through and essentially just try to, it's dads, you don't have to overcomplicate this. You don't have to try to write yourself a 5-point sermon that's outlined with a really good direction. But a lot of times it's me reading literally just, what did I read? That earlier that morning, what did I come across in my preparation for podcasts, et cetera? So in some ways, it's going to encourage you as a father to be also having time in the word before you get to dinner time. But worst case scenario, open up Proverbs for the day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's a Proverbs for every day of the month. And read the first 5 verses of Proverbs. Read the first 10 verses if your kids are a little older. Read the whole chapter, maybe. But one of the things that I think that my temptation was early on was to read too much scripture and to really kind of, and it doesn't have to be long with young children, but it is essentially pointing them towards the word of God. And then, you know, this is something my wife kind of was helping me with, because she uses the Charlotte Mason school of thought for homeschooling. You don't try to reduce it down to morals and have your kid summarize it back, but just say, I'll look to my youngest son, Abel, who's 6 right now, and say, what'd you hear? And just let him respond back. And they know, and we can say to all the kids kind of, but I try to get the younger ones first, because the younger ones would just copy the older ones if not. So you say, what'd you hear? And if you read 10 verses, it's really interesting to see, what was the verse that the 6-year-old picked up on? What was the thing that jumped out to him? And you can maybe ask, what does he think that means or whatnot? But at the same time, it's given him a chance to take ownership, to speak, to be involved in. And he knows that question essentially is coming. So he's listening, and it becomes the one that is important to him, or becomes the thing that you can kind of watch and have the privilege as the parent to see their little minds starting to take hold of scripture, starting to process it. And when you do this multiple times a week, I mean, honestly, we don't always get it. So we're in church 2 times a week. There's 5 other evenings. I mean, my goal as the husband, father, leader of the household is to try to take my family into worship, to establish priorities, sit down and eat a meal together 4 out of those 5 nights. Because sometimes it's just crazy. People are coming from different directions. If it's coming off music lessons, et cetera, even then, I can feel like I got to hit that. I got to sit down. We got to read the word. We got to sing, and we got to pray. So I haven't even mentioned that. Those are the 3 things we try to hit. Sometimes if it's really late, we kind of got dinner late, everybody's kind of cranky, daddy will just pray. But it's so awesome to say, all right, youngest to oldest, let's pray, and to hear the things on your kid's mind and the things that come out in prayer. Should have probably mentioned these earlier before we got to this point in the podcast, but the verses that I like on this: train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. And then Deuteronomy 6, we've read this before. you shall teach them, them being the commandments of the Lord, diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, essentially continually. So if you're not at least discussing the word and the commandments of God once a day, you're nowhere close to doing it walking by the way, lying down, rising up. This one verse of Deuteronomy 6:7 is pointing towards all day long. And that's essentially where we're going with the farm, with the different businesses that are family-based economies, like we talked about with Rory Groves a couple episodes ago, being able to be alongside each other and instruct my children continuously through the day in the commandments of God, so that they, when they are old, they do not depart from it. And now this is, you know, going into, we maybe haven't touched on this. I've seen some good stuff recently. You can't expect your kids to do what you say. They're going to do what you do. And so that means you reading the word, them seeing you read the word, you praying, you treating their mother with respect. You can't just have little gimmicks at the dinner table. So we respect mom by waiting to eat while you disrespect her all the time. They need to see your behaviors also reinforcing what you're reading to them in scripture and in Proverbs and things. And in some ways, doing that family worship, honestly, is coming off of me not performing well with my duties as a man, as a husband, me not being respectful to my wife in everything that day, me being a little bit frustrated with a couple of the kids, and is maybe begins with me repenting to my children, repenting to my wife in front of them, going to one of them individually, and just coming before the Lord as a head of my household, reading the Bible with them and coming repentant to them prior to that, so that we can enjoy fellowship together as a family, that we can set aside the difficulties that we've had, and then I can humbly and without hypocrisy point my children towards the Lord. Anyway, hopefully that's helpful for you a little bit. Would love to hear if it is helpful, maybe some practices that you have that maybe help me out. Hopefully we can employ some of these techniques together, share each other's lessons learned, and the result will be our families for generations, for 100 years, for 500 years, having dominion over the earth, taking it towards the new heavens and the earth, partnered with God to remake creation through our daily work, through worship with as a family, corporately and in our homes. Share it with a friend. Give us a social media post if you haven't gone over to your favorite podcast platform and given us a review, a blurb about how this podcast is helping you. Get the word out. The best way for us to grow our listenership, for us to be able to bring some of this content, is for you to share it with a friend. So copy that link, shoot it in a text over to your buddy, share it in social media, etc. And I'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.